Good afternoon. My name is Hope, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Galaxy Gaming 2012 Annual Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Robert Saucier, you may begin your conference.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Just before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone that we will be making forward-looking statements that are protected by the Private Safe Harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995, and those statements may or may not come true. With that, my opening remarks are that this is something that every CEO loves to say, but the numbers speak for themselves. I'd leave it at that, but then I would be not allowing our CFO to have any airtime. Since he prepared some nice slides and has a presentation, I'm going to turn the call over to our CFO, Gary Vecchiarelli.
Thanks, Rob. Good afternoon, everyone on the call. Before we get into the operating results, I wanted to bring your attention to the Form 10-K, which was filed yesterday morning, and specifically footnote number 18. The footnote discusses a correction and restatement we have to our 2011 financial statements, and I want to make sure that I address and alleviate any concerns that may arise out of this. The correction was for a non-cash accounting adjustment and did not affect our income statement or our earnings for 2011. The correction was an accounting entry that primarily related to foreign currency translation of our note payable to Prime Table Games, which is in the British pound. The total of this amount was about $65,000 and actually resulted in our total debt decreasing and an offsetting reclass in an equity account. Footnote 18 has all the details regarding this restatement, and it will not be an issue going forward, nor does it have an impact on our operations. That being said, let's talk about the top line. In the fourth quarter, our revenues were $1.9 million, which was an increase of about 2% over the third quarter. That brings our total revenues for 2012 to over $7.2 million, which is almost double the revenues of 2011. As we have discussed all year, the Prime Table Games acquisition has been the driver of our revenues. Not only did we acquire revenues, but we have grown them organically. The growth came from new jurisdictions and fulfilling pent-up demand, specifically for the 21+3 product. We have also been able to capitalize on relationships that came with this acquisition, which has allowed for our legacy Galaxy products to piggyback the demand for 21+3. In short, our recurring revenues remain strong, and they are growing. We are ahead of our initial projections for 21+3 revenues and have capitalized on the opportunities provided by this acquisition. Since we have very little direct expenses associated with the revenues, SG&A is our largest expense line item. As this chart shows, our SG&A expenses actually have been decreasing throughout the year. Expenses were over $1.1 million in the first quarter, and we've decreased them to less than $990,000 in the fourth quarter. Total SG&A was about $4.1 million, which is an increase of approximately $915,000 or 28% over 2011's SG&A expense. While this may seem like a large increase, most of this increase was related to commissions, which are obviously based on increased revenues. We also incurred greater regulatory-related costs as we entered new jurisdictions and had to go through game approvals in those jurisdictions as well. The takeaway here is that we feel we have secured a solid SG&A base going forward, and we don't expect significant increases in SG&A to support greater revenues. Now, while of course we enjoy paying commissions because it shows that our sales team are effective in closing business, these may increase quarter-over-quarter, but these expenses are specifically indicative of our top-line growth. Now, management uses a non-GAAP measure, EBITDAS, and for clarification, the S here stands for stock-based compensation, which is a non-cash expense we incur. Naturally, since our top line has grown, our EBITDAS has also seen a proportionate increase. EBITDAS for the fourth quarter was $839,000, which is almost double that of the EBITDAS in fourth quarter of 2011. With the increase in our revenues, our EBITDA's increased 8% quarter over quarter, which shows that incrementally most of our increased revenues drops to the bottom line. For the year, we ended up with over $2.8 million of EBITDA's compared to approximately $150,000 in 2011. Now, we're excited to say that 2012 has been a banner year for Galaxy Gaming. Not only did we increase the revenues and EBITDA's, but we recognized a significant net income as well. Our net income for the fourth quarter was $601,000 compared to the $130,000 in the same period last year. This translated to a net income of $622,000 for the entire 2012 year. Of this amount, it's worth noting that about $342,000 was related to recognition of tax benefits, since we expect to be profitable going forward. However, that should not discount the fact that our income before income taxes was approximately $280,000. And this is a direct result of the growth in our top line and really our continued prudent watch over expenses. Now, earlier in the year, the company didn't provide guidance but did discuss its 2012 budget. And this chart here shows our budget. Gross revenues were approximately $3.7 million in 2011, and in 2012, our goal was $7 million. EBITDA was only $147,000, but our goal was $2 million for 2012. And finally, the company had a net loss of $473,000 last year, and it was our goal to reach a break-even point for 2012. In reviewing the actual results, we surpassed our internal goals in each of these areas. We exceeded gross revenues by over $200,000, and our EBITDA was almost $3 million, which is an improvement of 50% over our goal. We also recognize a significant net income on a GAAP basis. We are excited about these results because it really shows our strategy and our execution of those strategies are working. Additionally, we have turned a corner financially, and now we're a much different company a year later. Now, I'd like to call out some of the performance metrics that we use in monitoring our business. In our proprietary table game segment at the top, you'll see that we had increases in both our premium and side bet games. And while there was a slight increase in the table game count for premium games, the average quarterly revenue for these games increased approximately 63%. The increase is due to some pricing strategies we employed and placement of some of our higher revenue generating premium games. Additionally, SideBet saw a large increase. This increase was primarily due to 21 plus 3 and our bonus crap side bets. Due to the higher price point of 21 plus 3, we saw our average quarterly revenue increase about 79%. For our proprietary games, we saw an overall increase to the table game count and the average quarterly revenue. And with respect to our enhanced table systems, we did see a decline year over year in our bonus jackpot systems. But we are not alarmed by this decrease at all, as there are systems in lower performing markets. And you can tell this actually by the increase in the average quarterly revenue of the units. Our mega share concept is strong, especially in the northwestern United States, where we had some placements in late Q4 of 2011. You'll see that we have it's indicated by the low average revenue numbers, but those numbers have increased on a quarterly basis in 2012. Company remains committed to expanding our efforts in this area and expect these numbers to grow further in 2013. Finally, our e-table seats increased slightly while it maintained the same average quarterly revenue. We also expect the number of seats will grow going forward as well. We now have over 3,000 table games worldwide, and we continue to add table games weekly. With our continued sales efforts and strict pricing strategies, we will continue to not only grow our real estate on the casino floors, but the average revenue per unit and service as well. I want to wrap this all together and really highlight the fact that our business model is based on recurring revenue model, which has little direct costs and high gross profits. And since we have high quality products with significant casino and player demand, our products have experienced a rather low churn rate. To calculate our recurring revenues here, we take the most recent month or quarter and extrapolate to an annual number. You'll see as of December 31st, 2011, last year, our annual recurring revenues were approximately $5.7 million. But as of the most recent fiscal year close, 2012, our annual recurring revenues were $7.5 million. And this essentially represents an organic growth of $1.8 million year over year, or approximately 32%. We expect that this recurring revenue will remain strong and grow going forward. This will grow with the added jurisdictions and the expansion and development of our portfolio, which Rob will talk about here in a few slides. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the debt before I turn it over to Rob. We did pay down over $1.4 million in debt in 2012, and we expect to pay down over $2 million in 2013, which will bring it to a balance of about $7 million as of December 2013. It's important to note that the annual run rate alone from the Prime Table Game assets is $3.7 million. So because of the favorable terms and interest rates we have on this debt, it's operating at a positive cash flow as it has from the moment we acquired it, and we expect this cash flow to continue growing as we grow the footprint, the national worldwide footprint of the company as well. So I'll hand it over to you, Rob.
Thank you, Gary. So as you can see, we've been through quite a transformation as a company, and that's really where I want to start out, is describing that. You know, beginning ever since we became a public company in 2009, we never posted an annual profit. And we were burning cash, but although our frugal nature kept cash burn to a minimum, we had neither an abundance of cash to lose, nor did we have either liquidity or the market capitalization to try to raise cash. So as you might agree, this was not an enviable position to be in. And when a company finds itself in this position, its leaders need to make cautious and conservative decisions. Generally speaking, decisions are not made to invest heavily in growth, but instead we make decisions that are focused on the company's survival, hopefully without diluting our shareholder base. Keeping the lights on and making payroll becomes priorities over high growth and return on capital. And oftentimes, great opportunities come along, including but not limited to acquisitions, but they're bypassed due to the lack of capital or the inability to use the company's stock as currency. For us, one of the big catalysts that got our company going in the right direction clearly was the Prime Table Games acquisition that we completed in October 2011. With that acquisition, we obtained not only a solid intellectual property portfolio, but also a base of high-margin recurring revenues, which were highly accretive to our core business. For years, we've been stressing the value of recurring revenues containing ultra-high margins. In our case, recurring revenues has exceeded 95% of our total revenue, and our gross profit margins have likewise exceeded 95%. Putting these two powerful ingredients together, recurring revenue and high margins, is like pouring jet fuel on an open flame. The installed revenue base we acquired from Prime Table Games was this type of quality revenue. A friend of ours, who I'm sure many of you know, but we'll keep his name confidential, once said about our business model. He said, Galaxy Gaming has higher margins and a greater percentage of recurring revenues than a crack cocaine dealer. Well, since I've not seen audited financial statements of any drug dealers, I cannot not authenticate that statement. But in our case, the numbers do speak for themselves. This formula of high-margin recurring revenue generates enormous returns for our company and provides us with the opportunities for growth that we'll be discussing today. I do want to caution all of you, however, and that is that although we continue to focus on generating recurring revenues, these sky-high margins are not fully sustainable in the future. This is due primarily to the nature of some new product offerings that we'll be introducing that will have lower margins. So now let's take a look at what today's Galaxy Gaming is all about. You know, turning from a company that was losing money to a profitable one is more than just removing the brackets off the numbers. Once a company starts to make money and is generating cash, its leadership team can focus and should change once profitable, the focus should turn to identifying and implementing new growth strategies. It is important to comprehend that we are now engaged in growing Galaxy Gaming like never before. In a minute, we'll discuss some of our growth initiatives we have selected for 2013 and beyond. But for now, understand that our financial position allows us to focus on maximizing shareholder value and liquidity, which we believe it comes down to executing on two basic fundamentals. Our first area of focus is always the performance of our core business, which we believe we have demonstrated, and we remain committed to further success in our business operations. Our second area of focus is to increase the exposure and visibility of Galaxy Gaming to the investment community. A little later on this call, we'll discuss what we're doing to accomplish increased investor visibility, but now let's discuss on what we're doing to grow revenues. At the beginning of this year, our leadership team had an off-site conference, and we identified seven growth strategies that could make a meaningful contribution to growth for the company in 2013 and beyond. On this call, I'm going to provide insight into four of those initiatives. The first initiative is market expansion. And primarily, the areas where the market expansion is we'll start with Louisiana and Maryland, which we did two press releases in the last month or so talking about those two jurisdictions. We desired Louisiana for many years. This is an exciting market opportunity, and we recently announced our approval to operate in the Bayou State. As we now speak, we now have live games in Louisiana with many more to be installed. Maryland, on the other hand, was a bit of a surprise for us, but is a very solid and attractive market. After receiving our approvals there, we now have live games in Maryland with additional installations scheduled. And we have another important jurisdiction that we anticipate approvals later this year, but it's been our nature, we will not prematurely announce that until it's completed. The second growth initiative has to be increased foreign market share. Our business in the United Kingdom has been one of the most pleasant surprises we've encountered in this business. Clearly, we underestimated our potential there. Prior to the Prime Table Game acquisition in the fall of 2011, Galaxy Gaming had zero presence in the UK or Europe. When we closed the Prime Table Game deal, we instantly became the number one provider of proprietary table games in the UK, having placements in 140 out of 141 casinos there. The number has now grown to 145 casinos. Our forecast prior to the Prime Table Game acquisition was that recurring revenue base would be stable and reliable, but not likely to grow. Specifically, we only budgeted 1% annual growth. However, after 1 year, we grew revenues about 7%. Looking forward, we see even greater potential, not only in the UK, but also in Europe and soon Ireland as well. Working hand in hand with our distributors there, we foresee expanded opportunities for at least the next several years. This has been a great story for us. I was over in London for the ICE show in January. The response we had was phenomenal. And next year we have a large booth in a central location and really anticipate a lot of revenue coming out of that area. I think that's a very bright spot for us in the future. The third area is we want to leverage our bonus jackpot system. So consistently we've been working on our bonus jackpot system, which we name after Galaxy. So the original one we had was called the Milky Way system. We're now on what we call the Andromeda system, and we're up to version 3. And then we continue to improve that, and sometime probably later this year or next year, we'll come out with what we call the Triangulum system. But we've really poured a lot of money and our heart and soul into the development of the system. We believe that we've got a system that is superior to our competitors in many ways. We continue to develop that, and we continue to improve that. Well, what it does is it allows us to go ahead and do some things such as the inter-casino jackpot system and the gambling promotion that we've used in the past. And we have some of those that are coming up on tap We'll be announcing those later in the year as they come online. But that's a very exciting component for us. The next issue is in terms of our growth initiatives is product development and deployment. Since we started generating positive cash flow, we increased our commitment to R&D. And briefly explaining these three products that are scheduled for release this year. One of the consistent performers in our portfolio of premium games has been Emperor's Challenge Paigao Poker. We recently revisited this game and enhanced it. We think these enhancements and upgrades will further stimulate placements of this game. So this is a game that has been very successful for us, and it's been very competitive, but we came up with some enhancements that we think are going to help move it forward even more. Another popular game we've had in our portfolio of premium table games has been Texas Shootout Poker. Although it's similar in nature to Texas Hold'em Poker, we determined we also wanted a game a lot closer to the core of Texas Hold'em and acquire the interest of additional Texas Hold'em Poker players. So we have a new Texas Hold'em game that we expect to beta test later this quarter. And then finally is High Card Flush. And I really want to spend some time on this one because this is truly an exciting prospect for our company. When we purchased High Card Flush, there was only one installation in a casino in Laughlin, Nevada. Its initial performance was good, but not great. After we acquired it, we made a few adjustments. And this is something that we are very good at doing. Last December, we entered High Card Flush into a contest sponsored by an industry trade magazine known as Casino Journal, and it took first place prize as best new table game of the year. Then we began installing High Card Flush into approximately 10 casinos as part of an expanded beta test and incubation period for the game. We are now winding down our beta test, and the results are in. Players love this game. The tables are full. In many instances, High Card Flush is outperforming all other games on the casino floor, including longtime industry leaders. This is potentially big news for our company. For the past several months, there's been a buzz in the industry about High Card Flush, and we've had to tell our clients they needed to wait until the beta test was over. Now we can begin to fulfill this backlog of orders. Time will tell, but it is certainly possible that High Card Flush could be one of the best games in the gaming industry for many years to come and be a major contributor to our top and bottom lines. We've been doing promotions with High Card Flush. This is something that we haven't done with new games before. And here's an example of some of the promotions that we have done in various casinos. And this really helps kickstart the games, whereas before we would just kind of throw the games out there. So now we take a new game that we like, and we put it into an incubation period. We put it into a number of select casinos, and we tweak the game a little bit, do a promotion, and really make sure that we understand the game. So as I mentioned with High Card Flush, we've made a number of changes to the game since we acquired it. Those changes turned out to be very positive, and that's why this game has such great numbers. So here's an example of some of the different promotions that we've done. That what you don't see here is really the exposure that we've been able to get in the social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. A lot of exposure on this game, and it's really starting to get a life of its own. So the last topic that I want to discuss has to do with our investor visibility efforts. You know, we're committed to maximizing shareholder value, and that comes down to the two fundamentals I discussed before, the company's performance and our exposure in the community. And so the first thing that we wanted to do is we wanted to upgrade update our Galaxy branding. And you can see some of that here. You can see the new logo that we're using, a new look and a consistency. And we're going to be putting that all the way through our whole company in our investor conferences that we attend, all the handouts that we give on our webpage, everything that we do. So you'll see this new updated Galaxy branding, and when that comes out, on our webpage, we'll do a press release to let everybody know about the new look, but you're getting a preview of that look here. Second thing is upgrade web presence. You know, we're really doing a lot, and we want to do a lot. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit with social media, but you'll see more and more things, and we're getting a lot more interaction on social media, and that's gaining exposure to the company. And then also our investor information page on the website. We're just not happy with the provider that we have. That we just don't think the information is comprehensive enough. So we'll be replacing that in the next few months and have an updated investor information page on our website. Third, I'm also going to pre-announce, because we haven't done a press release on this, is that Galaxy Gaming does have a new mobile app. It just went live just in the last day or so. So if you're interested in getting this on your phone, if you have an iPhone or an iPad, just simply go into the search function of the App Store and put in Galaxy Gaming, and it'll come back, and you can install that on your device. If you have an Android phone, because their phones run on what they call the Galaxy 4S or whatever, you just have to type in Galaxy Gaming Finance, and that's how you're going to find that application. In addition to that is, in a few days, I'm told, we will have a link on our website, and a person can go to our website and hit the link and download the application there. So that's something new for our company. We're excited about the opportunity that's going to present. Then finally, or at least finally for me, we're going to expand our presence at a number of investor conferences. So we've mapped out for 2013 probably about 8 or 9 investor conferences that we're going to be attending over the year. And not only are we going to be attending these conferences, but we've really taken an approach to try to upgrade our whole approach in terms of our presentation, the booths that we have, little giveaways we do, handouts. So that's going to be an increased focus. And the last point here regarding one of the things that we've done having to do with Merriman Capital, I'm going to turn that back over to Gary, because Gary's been working with Merriman Capital for the last several months. So, Gary, if you want to expand on that, please.
Sure. If you don't know Merriman, they are pretty much number one when it comes to the microcap space, and we're happy to have engaged them. And they really provide two types of services to us. The first one is consulting services as it relates to capital markets. So they're helping us clarify the message to our investors and potential investors, and helping us with our formal communications. They also help introduce us to large institutional or large retail investors that may not be in the stock currently. So we're able to get matched with some investors or potential investors that want to hear our story and do what I call sincere investing. So these are individuals or institutions that buy into the stock because of the story and our fundamentals, and are really long-term investors. And the second part of this is relates to the research arm, the independent research arm of Merriman, and I call the service more of accountability for management, because their analysts have met with us several times, and we've had some in-depth conversations, and their research team has basically asked of us about our business model and made a lot of inquiries and scrutinized our strategies. And this has resulted in a research report that was published just a couple of weeks ago. But I call it accountability, because now there's an independent party that's kind of taking apart what we're doing and who we say we are, and kind of setting some expectations for us out there, and really holding management accountable to our actions. So both those services, you know, we look forward to working with Merriman, and we've been happy with the relationship thus far. So you should be able to see some an increased uptick in some of our liquidity because of some of these actions, and increased presence just with the capital markets in general.
Thanks, Gary. So I just want to take a moment, just kind of a final word, take a moment and recognize this fabulous team that I have the pleasure of working with here at Galaxy, many of whom are in my office with me now observing this call. You know, it's taken a lot of hard work and a lot of intelligent decisions to make the accomplishments we have made the past few years. So, again, I no one person can do this alone, and I want to thank my team for the efforts they've done. And with that, operator, we'll go ahead and open the call up to questions.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Joe Akrawamit with Merriam Capital.
Thank you very much. Rob and Gary, speaking on behalf of the Merriman Research, I mean, you certainly finished up the year in line with our thoughts, and we applaud you in that regard. And we're hoping to see continued growth, with the company, in the wake of the combined PrimeTable acquisition and the integration of that particular entity into the parent. I about this time, I'd like to ask you if you could just give us a collective update on what you're seeing in the Western casino gaming market, the general trends or thoughts. As far as we get in, we're moving into the summer or the spring and then summer. Do you see any changes at all, or any particular issues or parameters that lead you to be optimistic about the rest of the year?
Well, Joel, when you said Western market, are you referring to the Western United States or the Western Hemisphere?
Basically, more the Western Hemisphere, including Europe and the UK and Ireland.
Well, the general trend that we see, it's continuing, and the general trend that we see is that more and more jurisdictions are thirsty for revenue, and they're opening up gaming. And so, you know, that's why I indicated Maryland was a bit of a surprise to us. A couple years ago, Pennsylvania was a surprise when they opened up table games. Massachusetts is coming up. I mean, there's a lot of new markets that are opening up all the time, and that's not just domestically, but that's foreign as well.
Mm.
So, you know, the market itself is expanding. Now, I don't think that what happens is that the number of people that enjoy gambling, and particularly table games, is necessarily growing at the same rate that all these casinos and all these new tables are opening up. So, I think there's some dilution that the industry has to factor in, because, again, I don't think it's a direct one-on-one proportionate relationship between the gamblers and the availability to gamble. That doesn't hurt us from the standpoint that the overall real estate just opens up that much more. So even if a casino is doing a little bit less per head count or per table, that doesn't work against us, and in some ways can work towards us or for us, because the casinos are looking on how they can maximize the revenue out of each table.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly that's what our games do, is to try to squeeze a little bit extra profit out of every dollar that they see. So that's tend to be the trend. You know, the locals market has been fairly steady through the recession. It was obviously, we know that Las Vegas was hit and some of the other tourist areas were hit, but the local market seemed to be stable. And even Las Vegas, the headcount is back to above pre-recession levels. It's just that there isn't the spendable dollars here per visitor that there used to be.
Hmm. Do you see any opportunity emerging in Latin America?
Well, we do. I mean, there is expansion there, and we see that. You know, we've looked at Latin America. We've looked at, South America. We're looking at South Africa. We're trying to line up a partner there.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just all over. I mean, Australia is still a strong market. Southeast Asia is growing. I mean, everybody knows about Macau and Singapore, but it's just, God, there's little pockets. I mean, we had an inquiry not long ago from a casino in Egypt. And so it's just, boy, it's like all corners of the globe The only thing I don't think we've gotten a call from yet is Antarctica. But
well, final question from my perspective, Robin. I'll get back in queue. Any thoughts on you know, we hear of this emerging or nascent interest or a trend in online gaming. Any do you see your opportunities to license the Galaxy intellectual property and gaming templates online to online players?
Yes, and we have, and we do, and so let me explain that. We entered into licensing agreements over a year ago to license our content in the online space, and it takes about a year to take a product, probably not quite that long, but we estimate about a year to get a product to where you take a product and you can actually get it into the online space and get it to start generating revenue. And we do fully expect to be posting revenues this year from the online space. We've already been told that we haven't received the funds yet, but we've already been given a brief accounting of the type of revenues that we may see from the online space. Still not very material in terms of the overall scope of things, but that portion of our revenue is going to continue to grow.
Well, we look forward to seeing your continued results. Thanks, guys.
Beth.
Your next question is from the line of Bruce Rutland, private investor.
Good afternoon, Rob.
Hi, Bruce.
Hey. Rob, let me take a step back, if I could, just a minute. In Q2, when we made the acquisition of Prime Table Games, you spent a little time on what you consider to be the underlying value of the existing portfolio of the 18 games, excluding 21 plus 3 and at the time 2-way Hold'em that was on field trial down at Bellagio. Question, could you give us a little progress report on that, since that was, you know, that was a pretty good hefty acquisition at $22 million, where those games are?
You know, the one thing I can tell you is that there's been a number of things that that we acquired that right out of the box has had pretty good success for us. There are some add-ons to both 21 plus 3 and to 3-card poker that has been very good for us. So, you know, and that's been both here and in the UK, but the UK is a different market, so we've had different success with different products over there than here. We've also had, you know, products that are part of the patent portfolio that maybe exactly as it was presented was not exactly ready for prime time, but we've been able to use some of these ideas to come up with, you know, to help fill out some of the other game ideas we had. So I know that Dan Lubin, who is involved in our game development, he and I have had a lot of conversations about that, and there's been a number of games that he's been working on that he can go into the patent portfolio and say, oh, wait, here's a concept I really like, and I can incorporate it into this game I'm developing and come up with a better game that maybe has stronger protection. So without going title by title, I mean, you'll see these things coming out, but, you know, we definitely are using this valuable portfolio.
Okay, and in retrospect, you're, in other words, we could see a resurgence of a different type if Dan gets a hold of it, of Deuces Wild, Triple Attack, and now I know that they were organically, but they wasn't acquired. But some of those games you could revalue, right?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we realize is that a lot of times there are good games that came out in the industry, and they failed for the wrong reasons. And sometimes it just is a matter of a little tweaking here or there. I mean, as I commented on earlier, we saw High Card Flush, and we said, boy, that's an interesting concept. That looks kind of fun. But it didn't have the numbers that everybody was looking for, and it didn't have the excitement the player was looking for. So, you know, we changed some things around, And now we have what I think is going to be one of the top games in the industry. You mentioned Triple Attack Blackjack. That was one of those games that when we came out with it, everybody that saw it said, that's going to be the next big game. And it never lived up to its potential, but we haven't given up on the game. We think that there are some elements in the game that we have to adjust, and we've had those discussions on what to do. But I think the big difference is that, again, it's a huge difference between the way we're approaching it nowadays and the way we've approached it in the back. You know, it used to be that what we would do is we'd come up with a game, we get all the rules of play done, we get the math done, we get the logos done, you get all the layouts designed, we get the game approvals, and then we turn it over to the sales team and say, have at it. And they would just go ahead and you know, put that out there. And because of the relationships that we have in the industry and the sales force, it would not be difficult for us to get 25 games out, you know, within 2 months. But the problem was is if the game had any little issues, the game could die as quickly as it went in. And so now we're taking a more cautious approach where we take a game and we put it through an incubation period and we really study it and we have people on site that keep track of what's going on and we talk to players and we make little adjustments here and there. So we're really encouraged that, you know, the same way that the natural gas industry can go back into some old fields and get new natural gas out because of new techniques, we think we can do the same thing with a lot of our game portfolio. We can go back into that and make some adjustments and really learn about the game and come out with some exciting games from some old titles.
Right, right. I appreciate that, Rob. And you seem to, I don't think you've shifted, and I'll get through this quickly. Are we still going to try to stay, which I was excited to hear you talk about last conference call, about really getting in the trenches and getting these games? We know when a good game like 21 plus 3 and 3 card poker come out that like you've said, that it's, I mean, you're pretty much well taking the order, but those games that could provide a house edge that could equivalent to a Let It Ride or a Crazy 4 poker, you're still focused on trying to get those games and stay in the trenches where we currently license.
Bruce, I'm not sure I really followed the question. Would you mind restating it a little differently? Because I missed what you were asking.
Okay, I'm sorry, Ron. Well, in the past, you had mentioned and talked about not so much expansion. We already knew that a jurisdiction like Louisiana was coming up and Maryland was an expansion. But you really was talking about and focused on staying where you were licensed, taking those games and getting more games out where you're currently licensed. Seems to be, and it's certainly fine, I'm glad to hear it, that you are looking a little bit expanding with what you currently have. It's just going to be a fine balance between that. That's what I'm trying to ask, to see if your mindset, Rob, has changed any in that.
We have opened that up a little bit. We felt that you know, some of you know that our COO handles our compliance and he's been ill for a while, so we've been behind on our regulatory compliance issues a little bit, and so we didn't want to put too much of a burden on that. But it seems like we've been able to get ahead on a few things, and we've gotten some key approvals behind us. And so that's opened it up. And so, yes, we are looking at some new jurisdictions.
Okay, and I'll get back in the queue. Quick update on the InterCasino jackpot system. Sort of felt like after the end of Q3, we may have heard something by now. Can you give us a progress report on that? When that may come up?
All I will say on the call is that we are negotiating. We have been negotiating with casinos. And that, you know, I don't know if it'll be the second quarter or the third quarter, but we do anticipate bringing it up online this year.
Okay, great. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Bruce.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Mark Robbins, Catalyst Research.
Hey, thank you. Just as a point of a clarification, Rob, was High Card Flush part of the PTG inventory of games?
No, it was not. It was a separate acquisition that we did from a company called Red Card Gaming.
Okay, great. I guess Bruce kind of asked my question regarding the bonus jackpot situation, or at least InterCasino jackpot, but is there any difference in your answer for MegaShare or Share of the Wealth will be seen? I believe they've been beta testing. Do you think we'll see those in casinos here second or third quarter?
The Share of the Wealth has been going well. We had in a particular jurisdiction, we had a software glitch that we've been able to quickly fix. The issue was is that in the jurisdiction that we're experiencing a software glitch, we're waiting for them to approve the new software. So, but everywhere else, the software has been performing fine. Share of the Wealth has been performing fine. And MegaShare is something that continues to have a lot of interest, and I foresee additional installations of that in the future.
Yeah, that just seemed to be the hottest thing a year ago, and I'm surprised we still haven't seen a whole lot of uptake from it. Ramp of the High Card Flush, would you expect that to be somewhat similar to 21+3, the acceptance and installation of 21+3, or would it be a little slower?
Well, it can't be as fast as something like 21+3, and the reason for that is that since 21+3 is added on to the game of blackjack, a casino may have 21 blackjack table or 20 blackjack tables, and we can go in and go on all 20 of them immediately. Whereas mm-hmm. when you go with a standalone premium game, the casinos are going to pay more for that game. But, they're going to start with one, and if it does successful, they'll add a second one. So it's just not practical that it could ramp up as fast as a blackjack side bet, but certainly it commands a much higher price.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. I'll get back in the queue.
Your next question is from the line of Zach McAdoo, McAdoo Capital.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Zach.
I noticed that you broke out on your balance sheet the jackpot liabilities line, a change from the prior quarter. And I was wondering if you could just describe what games that's related to and what the accounting entries are.
Hey, Zach, this is Gary. Thanks for the question. Yes, we did break out the jackpot liability and restricted cash. They were disclosed in the footnotes in prior periods, but we felt that this was becoming an increasingly large and more material amount. But essentially, those amounts for the restricted cash and the jackpot liability relate to the progressives that are on the e-table systems. We have maybe five or seven different machines that have their own standalone progressives that total up to that $200,000 amount. As far as the accounting entries, none of that runs through the P&L. Actually, a portion of that is player funds. So we'll bill for the revenue in addition to this amount, which, quote-unquote, feeds the meter. And it's essentially a debit to restricted cash and a credit to the liability.
Okay, and then So what was the balance of the jackpot liabilities in September, roughly? Did you see substantial quarter-over-quarter growth in that? Because I noticed you put in the December 11 number of 21,000. But I'm just wondering if it reflects growth in a certain type of table game that I can kind of...
I don't have the specific numbers for Q3, but most of that does relate to the increased activity around TableMax. We have seen a full year of revenue, and as the progressive gets larger, the activity on these e-tables increases as well. So
Okay, so it's the Table Max product. It's not the Mega Jackpot.
Right. Yeah, we don't foresee accounting for the bonus jackpot system in the same way. This is strictly because of regulatory requirements that we're required to really keep the jackpots fully funded. So that's why you see a liability in the cash amounts.
So how will the accounting work on the bonus jackpot then?
We'll expect we haven't walked through the exact specifics of that, but we will probably accrue a liability for a portion of that, but we will not collect player escrowed funds. It will be, at least the initial seed, will be a promotional expense by the company. And then based on the activity, we will accrue a certain amount.
Okay. But you'll be accruing that, not the casino?
Depending on how the bonus jackpot is set up, if we are involved in offering the promotion, then yes. But we have bonus jackpot systems out there right now where we don't have any liability.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Zach.
Your next question is a follow-up question from the line of Bruce Rutland, private investor.
Hey, Gary, while I've got you on it, there was an echo and I was trying to hear. Are you telling me you're Rob said in the past, you're going to fund when you get the InterCasino jackpot system up, you will fund that top jackpot amount, and there are some are breaking out the e-tables and the bonus jackpot system. I guess my question is, what is the company going to be funding on those accrued liabilities?
Well, some of them we will fund, and some of the casinos will fund. So we happen to like the profitability of funding these jackpots. Some casinos, particularly smaller ones, may be scared to do so. But we're, you know, we understand the math completely, and we're able to track everything, so we're very comfortable with funding these jackpots because they're highly profitable. So that's going to be on a casino-by-casino and a jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction basis, but it's something we fully intend to be involved in this year.
Okay, and that would, Rob, would that be 100% if you don't mind me asking on the InterCasino jackpot system when it gets up, where you will get a percentage or a fixed price or a percentage amount of the wager on that?
Yes, we will be paid a percentage of every wager that is being placed on that system, and we'll be offering a promotional prize as a part of that.
Great, yeah. Those are very profitable. Gary, just real quick, what NOLs do y'all have going, tax credits? How much do y'all have left, Gary, going forward?
We got well over $1 million.
Okay, great.
I would say it's like $1.5 million, or I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I know it's well over $1 million.
Should last us another week.
Yeah, another week or two, exactly. hey, Bruce, while I have you, I just want to expand a little bit because I just want to say that for any of the promotions that we'll be funding, it could be anywhere from $5,000 to $25,000 to start. We don't expect this to be big numbers that we're going to have to put forth a lot of cash. And the way we've modeled this is that once the promotion gets up and running, it will require an initial seed, but we'll be able to fund any future reseeds. So, you know, after jackpot gets hit, if we need to reseed it with another amount, that's all going to get funded directly from the operations of that agreement. So, if anyone's modeling out how this is going to affect our income statement, it's going to be nominal at first. These aren't going to be funded with material amounts to begin with, and they'll always be funded from the operations, from the promotion itself.
And Gary, that's very much appreciated. I appreciate you and Rob letting me know that. So we've got content. We'll have ancillary upfront cost that we should get back, and then you will get a percentage or a fixed piece of the reoccurring revenue. And that right now is pretty well set on the InterCasino jackpot system when it does arrive.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press *1. Your next question comes from the line of Andrew DeSilda, Merriam Capital.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a couple quick modeling questions here. Due to the highly recurring nature of your revenue, can we expect to see sequential growth into Q1 and beyond?
Well, we're going to avoid using that that G word because it's not something that we like to do. But we do continue to build upon our recurring revenue. Our pattern has been generally that's been up, and we do anticipate that at the end of the year, our run rate of recurring revenue is going to be higher than it is at the beginning. So I realize that's maybe wussing out on the answer a little bit, but we just don't like to make those predictions, primarily because we have a hard time with the timing of some of these things. We are aware that certain things are going to happen, but we're not aware of the timing. So because our model is based upon recurring revenue, the timing of when they occur in the year really has an effect on the number for the year. So if, let's say, for example, you were just selling something one time for $1 million, well, it wouldn't matter if you sold it in the first quarter or if you sold it in the fourth quarter. It's still going to show up for the year. But with recurring revenues, if you add $10,000 a month, it obviously matters because the earlier you can start posting that in the year, the more revenue it's going to mean for the year. So one of the things that we've learned about this business is it's very hard for us to control the timing because it's generally up to gaming regulators or certain approvals, other things that we just don't always have control over.
That's fair enough. Also, wanted to touch base on the high card flush. I heard you say that that demands a higher average quarterly revenue run rate, perhaps. Based on your slide, you kind of ended with $1,444 on average for your premium table games. Can we expect that to grow in the long term as some of these other premium games hit the market?
Yes.
Substantially?
Yes.
Great.
No,
I'm not
trying to be a smartass, but I'm trying to indicate that we foresee, without revealing our pricing strategy, high card flush is now already priced out as the highest product that we have in house. So it's going to, the more of those we get up, the more it's going to bring that average up significantly.
And now that the quarter's over, the first quarter of 13 is over, are you seeing a lot of interest in it, or as far as from your existing pipeline of casinos, or are you still really pushing the sales effort on that front?
Well, you won't see any, and if you do, it'd be minuscule. You won't really see any revenue from high card flush in the first quarter, because during this first quarter, we've used this period as part of our beta test. And so the participants, we had 10 casinos that participated in the beta test, and they were offered the product for free during that period of time. You'll begin to see some revenues, I suspect, in the second quarter from that game, and then that should ramp up significantly through the rest of the year. But I also
see
it ramping up. This is a game that if it really takes off, it's going to ramp up over a period of a number of years. And, again, we have to take these games and we have to get them approved jurisdiction by jurisdiction. So far the demand that we've had, which has been literally all over the country, appears to be quite strong. The game is doing very, very well and has very good numbers, and the casinos are quite pleased with it, and we've already had some inquire as to getting additional games in their casinos. So we're just rolling this out now. Like I said, we just finished up the beta test. We just evaluated the numbers. We were done tweaking it. We did layout changes. We did a logo change. We did some procedural changes. So, but that's complete, and now we're ready to get the game installed in the casinos.
That's great to hear. But my last question is kind of deal with the margin compression that Gary talked about a little earlier. As more of the jackpot system games start hitting hitting casinos and becomes more popular, how should we think about modeling your gross margins going forward? Do you think they're going to drop below 95% or 90%, or do you think mid-90s is a fairly stable range? Well,
we would expect that, especially compared to other industries, the margins still remain very high. They could dip as low as the high 80s, but for the most part, they're going to remain, they'll probably settle right around 90 once we ramp up, and once BJS ends up being a significant portion of our revenue. But until that point in time, I mean, even at that point, if we're making 88% margins, BJS is probably accounting for 30-40+% of our total top-line revenue. So at the end of the day, we're okay with lower, essentially lower margins and a lower gross profit on that, because we're getting the top end larger revenues in general.
Perfect. Yeah, that's all I had for now. Thanks a lot, guys.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1. And there are no further questions at this time.
Well, thank you, everyone. It's been an hour, and it's time for us all to get back to work. But really appreciate everybody on the call. Really appreciate everybody's support. We think that 2013 is going to be an even better year for us than 2012. And we invite you all to stay tuned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.